streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Live in L.A., it's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So I'm thinking here, J-Mac, Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes. I had a discussion last night with some buddies, having some beers, watching the Orlando Magic and the Clippers game. What? Yeah.
Got it. All
yeah.
Right.
That Ben Carroll kid can play a little bit. So we got into this discussion, and I like to go have a beer and listen to my friends. What interests them? What are their takes? Because we're trying to connect with, like, everybody that's driving in a car right now or watching. And we were talking about the NIL and the transfer portal. And one of the guys, we got into this discussion. One of the things the media, I think, is terribly irresponsible for, especially the political media, everything's end of the world. We overreact to everything. We do a disservice to the public. I think I'm better served offering calm, reasoned ideas, not, you know, I'm just a sports guy. But I watch the political media and sometimes the sports media, and we make a lot out of meh. And the transfer portal, simplify it to this. I watch some of the media people freak out about the transfer portal. So right now, everybody's like, look at all these players are leaving. One out of 13 players are leaving. So if you have a roster of 85 in college football, you will lose 6 players. That's about 6 to 6.5 players. Now, a college scholarship has 85 players on it, right? Like Stanford can never get to 85, I've been told, because it's hard to find that many kids that qualify. They're closer to 75, but it's 80, 85. You lose 6 kids a year to the transfer portal. You gain 6, but you lose 6. Well, if you're a company with 85 people, isn't it a reasonable number? You lose 6 people a year. I mean, on our staff at The Herd, we have a great staff. I've lost 5 people. They got better jobs, and we've replaced them. And that's like, and we have a tiny staff. It's not even close to 20 people. But the point being is, in an 85-person company, 6 people moving out, 6 people moving in is not an outrageous number. It's kids getting opportunities. USC's losing 6 kids. One of them was getting real playing time. 5 weren't. USC with Lincoln Riley's upgrading their recruiting. Some of these guys will never play. They want an opportunity to go to Hawaii, UNLV, Fresno State. They won't go play. So I think, again, everybody's freaking out about the NIL. It's fine. The transfer portal. It's fine. Bottom line is people in America should have the opportunity, especially young people, to choose their field. If they don't want to go to work and work remotely, then don't go to work and work remotely. There's plenty of companies. I got a small company. I like people that work remotely. But the media does a poor job, in my opinion, of this constant outrage and the world's ending, and it's not. God, the Elon Musk Twitter stuff. Can you give him 3 to 4 months to figure out how to run a new company? Like, he'll probably figure it out.
I think people are just terrified of change, Colin. They're just absolutely, this has never happened in college football before. How can this happen? The bowl system changing, people freak out. People just resistant to change. You
know? I think
that's, afraid of it.
I think that's a lot of it. Greg Cosell, 43 years, NFL Films. So when the Raiders were losing, I said, settle down. I said, settle down here. They're developing a run game without a great O-line. They're getting the ball to Devontae Adams. They've got a lot of injuries, and this is a chaotic franchise the last 10, 15 years. This is not a six-game rebuild. They need time. So now they're on a three-game win streak. What are you seeing from Derek Carr? They don't have Hunter Renfro. They don't have their tight end, so they're missing some pieces. But are you encouraged by what you see with Josh and Derek Carr?
Yeah, I am. And I thought Derek Carr, despite not having great numbers, played very well last week, Colin, for this reason. I thought Carr was very poised in the pocket with people around him. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes he struggles with. I think when he feels pressure, there are times he either gets rid of the ball too quick or he becomes a little frenetic. And I thought this week he played exceptionally well in the pocket, late in the down, waiting to make throws. The other factor, though, and this makes them difficult to play against, is they play with a fullback a lot.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels brought Jacob Johnson over from New England, and 35% of Jacob's runs this year, 35%, that's a high number, have come with the fullback on the field out of what we call 21 personnel,
yes.
Two backs
yeah.
and one tight end. And you know what? Not many teams do that,
yeah.
and it's a little more difficult to prepare for on a weekly basis. And they have been very, very effective running the ball. And Josh Jacobs is a really good confined space runner. He navigates inside through traffic and through bodies really well.
So I was watching Burrow face Mahomes last week.
Yeah.
And it hit me sitting on my couch that if I wanted to simplify Joe Burrow, because Josh Allen, we see the size and the arm. Lamar Jackson, we see the speed. Patrick Mahomes, we see the arm angles. You don't get a lot of that with Burrow. And I thought, what's his secret sauce? And I boiled it down to this. This will almost sound silly. That he just usually throws it to the right guy really accurately. And that sounds...
How about he throws it to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw with precise ball placement?
Yeah.
That's kind of what playing quarterback is. And it's funny that we don't talk about that when we start evaluating college quarterbacks. But I thought this game was really interesting for the Bengals because one of the things Burrow is really good at and they're really good at is he attacks one-on-ones outside the numbers with both Chase and Higgins. This game, they didn't really do that. This was a patient, methodical game for Burrow. He got sustaining completions. There were a lot of quick rhythm timing throws that essentially minimized and eliminated the Chiefs' pass rush. And I'm sure that was a factor going into the game that they did not want the Chiefs' pass rush to be a factor against the O-line. That's still a little bit of a work in progress. But the ball came out. It was to the right receiver. That's Burrow's game. You know, you remember when he came out, everybody loved all his traits. And the one thing they said was he didn't have a big arm. And he doesn't have a gun. But he knows how to play quarterback, and he knows how to throw the ball.
Yeah. So, I want to talk about Mike White of the Jets and Kenny Pickett of the Steelers. So let's start with Kenny Pickett. I think we both kind of felt the same way. I lean on you, but he's big enough. He's got a nice arm. He lets it rip. He can move pretty well. I'm waiting to see something truly special, but he does look like a professional starting quarterback to me. What is the film saying?
And, you know, Colin, you may not see special in the way we think special. He may be one of those guys that just as he further develops. And by the way, he's incrementally getting better every week,
okay.
Which, of course, doesn't mean he won't have a bad game, but he's getting better every week. He may be one of those guys that just is an executor of an offense that is a ball distributor with enough movement ability to be able to make second reaction movement plays when necessary. He may be one of those guys that never wows you, but just plays the position the way it's supposed to be played.
Yeah, and for the record, again, It's Burrow. Throws to the right guy accurately.
Yep.
Like, it's a thing. So now I want to go to Mike White. You know, Jason's a huge Jets fan. And obviously,
yeah,
you can see Saleh's fingerprints on this defense. They have a world-class corner. They really move well. It's a really good defense. They gave Buffalo fits. They play him again. But yeah. I said this the other day when I watched Mike White. I'm like, I don't know what he is, but he's big. And he made a throw to Corey Davis. And I was like, oh, whoa, that's a big time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Now, he couldn't get him in the end zone. You always feel like Mahomes, Allen, you know, the great ones can get you in the end zone. But just give me an honest evaluation of what Mike White is. Is he close to his ceiling? Is he just kind of a guy to fill in for a while?
You know, it's so funny you say that because I've watched him hard the last 2 weeks and talking to the guys here in my matchup room at NFL Films. And I just said, I'm trying to figure out, Colin, what this guy is. Because I have to tell you, the last couple of weeks, he has played well. And you watch a lot of football, college and NFL. And the one thing that really stands out with Mike White, and you notice it as well, I'm sure, he doesn't get stuck in the pocket. Do you notice how he's never in the pocket where it looks like he doesn't know what to do with the ball? The ball goes somewhere, and he plays with a really refined sense of timing. There's a rhythm to the way in which he plays. He certainly doesn't have a gun, but I wouldn't say he has a bad arm by any means.
No.
He made a couple of throws this past week. There was an 18-yarder at the end of the first half to Garrett Wilson, a sideline out route. I think that sort of got him going. That was kind of a big time throw.
Yeah.
So the sample size is not large enough to make any definitive statement about his future, but you know, like I said, I was talking to the guys in my matchup room and we're sitting here saying, you know, this guy's throwing the ball pretty well. You know, he doesn't have the look of a backup like with a rag arm that you come in for a week or two.
Yeah. Okay. So now I want to do two other quarterbacks. I want to do Geno and Brock Purdy. So let's start with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
So he was a 4-year starter. He's not huge. He's 6'1", 220, but you know, that's not an issue. He is accurate. And it's funny. We forget how many great quarterbacks. Romo and Warner weren't drafted. Staubach, 10th round. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 35,000 yards in the 7th round. Mark Brunell in the 5th round. Brady, 6th. Joe Montana. There's a lot. And quarterbacks now, as you know, they're coming from everywhere, and they're better earlier with more snaps. I watched Brock Purdy being inserted into that game, taking no number one snaps all week. And Greg, I was like, I think you could win a playoff game with this kid. Am I nuts? What's the tape say?
Well, all we have is that game. And by the way, that's a challenging defense to play against. Miami is one of those teams that has a lot of pressure front look, 6 and 7 people up the line of scrimmage. Then they move people just before the snap. The sky is late rotation. That's not an easy defense to play against. And he made some big-time third-down throws, one against pressure, where he clearly knew the pressure and he knew where to go with the ball. Now, he was the last pick in the draft for a reason, despite 46 starts, because he doesn't have a big arm. He can be very streaky. You know, when you say he's accurate, I watched him in college. I broke him down. And there were games where he was just red hot and everything looked smooth and easy. And there were other games where he was just inaccurate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a factor. But the one thing about him, and this could be good and bad, given that he's not a big gun guy, is when he's on, he is super confident, super aggressive. When he feels rhythm, he will turn the ball loose. And like I said, that can be a positive and a negative because sometimes I think there are throws that he thinks he can make that he really can't. But we're going to find that out. But he's in a system, as you know, with Shanahan that really defines reads and throws very well for a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. He's what they call, what you call a rhythm thrower. When he's in rhythm, he's like a shooter in basketball. When he's hot, he wants the ball, and he's hitting shots you don't think he can hit. Now another one. So we've gone back and forth on this. This is fascinating. So the Seahawks have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a third, 2 fourths. And they don't have a ton of needs. They need an interior defensive lineman. Well, they could take that with their first pick from Georgia. They could use a center. They could use another receiver. But boy, after last year's draft, that O-line looks pretty good. The corners look pretty good. They've got a one receiver. They got a running back now. And I say to myself, do they just stick with Geno? And I think, oh, no, this is an outlier. You've watched him. What's the tape say on Geno?
The thing, Colin, is there's no way to know the future, but obviously teams have to make decisions based on what they think the future will hold. He has been really efficient this year, and that's the word I would use. I mean, his completion percentage is really high. Now, they've helped him a lot, by the way, because they do a lot of things that help quarterbacks. They use a ton of play-action boot where they get him outside the pocket, and those are one-read throws, but they're very effective because they do a really good job with misdirection elements. But he's made some very good throws as well in the middle of the field, intermediate throws, some deeper throws. He's got some movement to him. He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And every metric you use this year to really analyze Geno beyond tape, the tape is really good, by the way, but even every metric, it's really high.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is how many quarterbacks would you say in this league are truly those difference makers where you say, hey, that guy is going to go in and you can win the game simply by what he does?
But four
There's
of them.
Not 15 or 20 of those guys.
That's right. And it's funny.
So the point is you still need to line up with a quarterback. And if you have enough team and enough good concepts and good tactics, you can compete. So since there's only four or five, you know, there's Allen, there's Mahomes, there's Burrow. I know I'm leaving somebody out. But, I mean, the point is there's not 10 or 15 guys that, you know, you say, hey, those are the guys. So you can't just get rid of every quarterback and say we need a quarterback.
No,
they don't fall out of the sky, Colin. You know that.
Yeah. No. It's Geno's old. There's a reason he was drafted up. He's a big guy, can make the throws. He's got enough mobility. Like, I get it. It's just there's no precedent for looking like a bust, hanging around as a backup, and now starring. It's just weird, and that's why we love this sport.
You know, the big question, if I could just throw out, is, and I was reading something about this and it made me think, third down is obviously the money down in the NFL. So the question is, do you have to be able to play the game from the quarterback position outside the system in order to be great on third down? Now, obviously there are third downs where you can, you know, execute and ball distribute and everything works, but to be great in this league now, would people say that you have to be able to make second reaction, improvisational movement plays on third down to be one of those guys?
Yeah. All right. Tua.
Yep.
Just off. Just was it hurried? Was he hearing footsteps? Is it the Niners defense? It was not a good performance by him, Greg. What did the film say on Tua?
Yeah, it's a great question because obviously they scored the touchdown on the first play, which was a bust by the Niners D. But I thought Tua, and again, I can't tell you what's in his head, he's normally very quick twitch in the way he drops, sets, and delivers. But I thought in this game, he just looked faster. He looked hurried. And there were snaps where I thought, based on their route concepts, I thought his eyes were not in the right place. So again, I can't tell you why, Colin, but I thought he just looked fast in this game. You know, you think back to the old John Wooden phrase, be quick, but don't hurry. He hurried. He just looked faster. Like everything was just a notch faster than it normally is.
Well, you know what? Some of that is he looks at tape and he sees Bosa and he sees that defensive line. Greg, you know, this stuff gets into players' heads. There's a reason there's a saying, I see ghosts. I think the Niners make everybody. You look at that tape. I said the other day, the Ravens had a defense, the Ray Lewis defense, that was so great. When I would watch it, I would think, are they playing with 12 guys on the field? And when defenses have linebackers that move well, they cover more ground. There are times San Francisco feels like they're playing with an extra linebacker, and I think he saw it on film, and it got into his head a little maybe.
And, you know, you nailed it because I think Fred Warner, based on tape, is the best linebacker in the game. And boy, I just love watching that guy. That's my bromance, Colin, Fred Warner.
Okay. So, through the years, I've been accurate on some of my opinions. On Baker, I think I was more right than wrong. On Darnold, I was more wrong than right. I never, ever saw Jalen Hurts as this kind of player. I am blown away by his growth. Is it Sirianni? Is it A.J. Brown? I don't know. I mean, they have maybe, you know, it's got to be a lot of him. What do you say? Yeah. I'm surprised by the development.
I mean, I think most people would echo your sentiments. He was drafted by the Eagles to be the backup to Carson Wentz because they love the fact that maybe they could have used him in a Lamar Jackson way as kind of an addition to Carson Wentz. He was viewed by most as around a fourth round pick. That was a maybe when he got into the NFL. Now, this is a really well-schemed offense. The running element that he brings to the table is really difficult to defend. They've got a great offensive line, but you still have to make throws. And he is now making throws. And the thing that started to happen is just what I said with Burrow. They are starting to get into that situation where when he sees one-on-ones outside the numbers with Brown and Smith, they are taking shots. And he's making really accurate throws down the field. His deep ball, which was a concern, a major concern when he played as a rookie and a concern through much of last year, has become really good. So I guarantee much of it's him. I've heard great things about Jalen Hurts and his whole approach and work ethic, but he is playing at a really high level. But one final point before we get to the play. This is an offense. This is what you want with offense, Colin. You want to be in a situation where your run game and your pass game can operate independently of one another, dependent on any given week. You don't have to do one thing for the other thing to happen. You can do either one depending on your game plan, choice, and your opponent.
And let's go to our big play of the week with Jalen Hurts.
All right, let's jump right in. This was the touchdown that ended the first drive last week against Tennessee. And this play was very representative of coaching as well as execution, because they were playing a Tennessee Titan defense that on first and second down, and this was second down, plays a lot of quarters coverage. So you see Hurts in the gun right here. And what you're going to get is a 3-by-1 set, and you're going to get Sanders, the back, offset to the short side of the field. Now, as I said, the Titans were what we call quarters coverage, with each defender responsible for a deep quarter. That safety to the boundary side of the field is the key guy, because in quarters, he's responsible for the inside slot running vertically. So what does that essentially do? That leaves Devonta Smith one-on-one on the outside versus the corner. And that's what the Eagles knew in their game planning, because that's what quarters coverage is. Quarters demands that the boundary safety, the safety away from trips, that he has to match up to number three, to the inside slot. And you can see that he matches up to him. So what do you end up getting? The one-on-one, as I said, and Smith runs an unbelievable route, which we'll see in a moment. And so the throw is defined. It's a beautiful throw, and it's a touchdown. But one point I want to make here, not just about Jalen, but about route running. And this is Smith. Look how he gets the corner to turn to the outside. Yeah. And when you turn to the outside, you can't play an in-breaking route. So this was beautiful design, beautiful execution. This is an offense led by Hurts that's executing at a very high level.
Greg, happy holidays. We'll see you next Thursday. As always, thanks again.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Love it. The Geno Smith situation, just fascinating. Dude's big. He moves well. They roll the pocket. It's crazy.
You know who he's facing this week? Brian Burns of Carolina. He leads the NFL in pressures. Your big rookie tackle, tall order against Brian Burns. That's an interesting game. I need Carolina badly. For the haircut, obviously.
Spending more. That's right. You really do, for a lot of reasons.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers. And with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in a short sleeve, moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last for decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all.
The quarterfinals at the 2022 FIFA World Cup get underway tomorrow with a pair of blockbuster matchups. First, last World Cup's runner-up Croatia takes on Neymar and the unstoppable offense of Brazil. Then the unbeaten Netherlands battle Lionel Messi and Argentina. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
A-Rod, before the end of the show, Verlander now, 2 years, big money. Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop Red Sox, now a Padre. San Diego suddenly has a lot of money. They went after Aaron Judge, and they signed Machado, and they're big players now. Yeah. I never thought of the Padres. You know, Giants have money, Dodgers, Braves, Houston. Red Sox appear to be dialing back to some degree. Mets now.
It's interesting. If Aaron Judge came to you and said, Colin, you know, I don't know much about this San Diego town. What do you think? $400 million contract to live in San Diego? It's pretty desirable. That's a great, fun little city.
Hey. Nobody wants to live in California. You hear that all the time.
Oh, the taxes. Oh, they're brutal. What, they're great in New York all of a sudden?
J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the San Francisco 49ers are going to start Brock Purdy, his first start of the season Sunday against the Bucs. Kyle Shanahan says that this transition from Jimmy G to Purdy won't be as big as the one from Trey Lance to Jimmy G earlier this season.
I'm trying not to make it a drastic change. I mean, they have a similar skill set. You know, we got a lot of confidence in Brock. We've seen him in practice. Our players have. We have. And that's why we were confident in him. But, you know, he hasn't played a ton of football. I think it was a little bit bigger from Trey to Jimmy, just in terms of the running element that Trey had, just how we looked at a game plan, how we positioned all the formations and stuff to kind of keep him always as a threat as a runner. Jimmy and Brock aren't necessarily running threats, so you don't sit there and design stuff like that, but they're definitely both mobile enough to make plays with their legs.
I'm really excited for him. I really am. I think I think the best way that Greg Cosell put it, Lance Zierlein, a scout I trust and a radio host in Houston, he's a streaky quarterback. When he's in rhythm, he can be really good, but he can go sideways fast. The good news is this defense, this coach, and this run game, you're not going to ask him to throw 9 straight times unless they're trailing late in a big playoff game.
See, this is a weird spot for them against Tampa, right? If they lose, it's like, oh, Brock Purdy can't get the job done. If they win, beating Tampa, which is a pretty good team despite not looking good, I think we're going to get back on the San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl train, right? I mean,
I'm on it now.
You're definitely on it.
Yeah, because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to come back potentially for the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. I'm on it. I think they're back in the Super Bowl bubble. Absolutely.
I asked the conductor to just slow down a little bit. He wasn't really feeling that. I love the defense. I like the skill position guys.
It's incredible. Yeah. Look, you could tell it was in Tua's head. He had a touchdown in his first play, and it still got in his head.
Speaking of Tua, Dolphins Chargers this week, massive Sunday night game. It was flexed into Sunday night. There's been a lot of talk of the matchup, obviously, between the two quarterbacks who were drafted 5th, Tua, and 6th, Herbert, in 2020. The comparisons have been more favorable to Herbert. We're going to show you some stats here in a moment. But first, Tua says he's not listening to any of that noise, Colin.
I feel that I've been very blessed to have gotten chosen regardless of if I got chosen before him or after him. You know, I'm just happy to be where I'm at. I don't think anything of it. You know, I know everyone else outside of our building, and you know, fans want to make speculations about that. But for me, you know, I'm just very fortunate, very blessed to be in this position. So, you know, I'll let everyone else handle the talking with that, and you know, that's my stance on it.
He's an incredibly likable guy at the podium. He really is. You know what he is? It's a really great word. He's grateful. And that we should all be grateful, or most of us should be grateful. He's highly grateful of his opportunity, and that is a really heartwarming, easy person to root for.
I just don't like how in the Tua versus Herbert, if you're saying Herbert's better, you're painted as, oh, you hate Tua. You know, and listen to that interview. Like, he's a likable guy. I'm rooting for him.
Of course.
Not when they play the Jets twice a season.
Right.
And let's be honest, Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Tua.
You hammered this
at the opening of the show.
Yeah, yes. But that doesn't mean, you know, Greg Cosell, take out four guys. Like, Mike White, when you watch him, or Geno Smith, they're big guys who make accurate throws. That's most of the league. I mean, Kirk Cousins doesn't move well. Kirk Cousins doesn't have a big arm. He wins a lot of games. He's going to win his division. He's already won it going away. So, and he's won a playoff game before. So there's not a lot of great in the world. Good is often good enough, because there's not a lot of great out there. And good gets you a lot of wins while you look for great.
Well, Tua was great against inferior defenses, right? Putting up massive numbers.
Right.
I think he was leading the league in completion percentage.
It's not like anybody else looks great against the Niners in the second half. Everybody's struggling except Mahomes.
I'm just curious, Colin, if you were this guy, and this is kind of a random question, and you were being asked ahead of this game your thoughts on, hey, so Colin, what do you think? You know, this guy, this radio host over here was drafted after you, he's put up better stats than you. What are you thinking about that game? Here's my media question to you.
I think you got to focus on you. I try not to worry about other stuff. Like, I think it's hard enough to do what we do. I don't really care about it. I don't listen. Don't care. It's not a knock on him. It's just I'm pretty good at focusing in on my stuff. I don't worry too much about noise.
We just lost a game last week. We need this victory. I don't care about Justin Herbert. I'm focusing on the Chargers defense. You know, like, I thought Tua handled it well, but it's got to be tough when you are struggling and facing microphones every single
day. Last coach didn't even like him. I mean, they didn't get along personally.
Yeah. All right, wrapping up here, the Baltimore Ravens. Big matchup against the Steelers. Listen, this is a great slate of the NFL this weekend. I did not realize that the Ravens are on a four-game losing streak against their rivals. Baltimore players say the streak has been the topic of conversation in the locker room. Linebacker Patrick Queen, who hasn't been a part of the win over the Steelers yet, said that the mantra in Baltimore is that you're not a true Raven until you beat the Steelers. Who you got in this one? Lamar Jackson out, by the way. It will be Huntley.
Probably Pittsburgh. Again, if Lamar doesn't play, I would take Pittsburgh. I think they're going to get the ball to Pickett this week. I think, you know, yeah. I mean, this is
suddenly interesting. If the Ravens drop this game to Pittsburgh, all of a sudden you start wondering, are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to miss the? Do you rush Lamar back? If Pittsburgh wins this, they're now 6-7.
I know.
Right there with the Raiders and the Chargers.
I know.
Kenny Pickett. Remember, Tomlin, I think the stat is he's never had a losing season.
I know.
If he's able to pull this off.
Oh,
Colin,
this would be one of Mike's great years.
With a rookie quarterback?
Absolutely. Who didn't start the year? It was Trubisky got the nod. So he had to insert him after a couple games.
I can't believe you're traveling this weekend. You know, you got to get in front of a TV for all of the games.
No, I'm back Sunday morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just look it out for you, Colin.
Right. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in a short-sleeve, moisture-wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last for decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
Well, there's only seven players in baseball history with over 3,000 hits and over 500 jacks. And I'm talking like the Hank Aarons, Willie Mays, A-Rod's in one of those guys' class. 22 years in the sport. Most seasons ever with 100-plus RBIs, he and Albert Pujols. So the well-appointed A-Rod is joining us, and you signed a big deal years ago, 10 years, 250, Texas, and it was the first contract where it was like, wow, and you were also, you were a great defensive player. You were a productive offensive player. You had your years ahead of you. I look at the Aaron Judge deal, and I'm like, he's going into 30. He's had injuries. That's a lot of money. I'm happy for Aaron Judge. 9 years to a 30-year-old with injuries? Couldn't I question that, Alex?
Well, you know, Colin, what happens is when you have players, whether it's a Kobe Bryant, a LeBron James, a franchise player, you know day one that these guys have the goods. They have the goods in talent, Madison Avenue, great, great character. We learned nothing new the last 12 months. If the Yankees can have a mulligan, they would fast forward 5 years, sign him for 10 years when he was 25,
yeah,
and get him to 35 and then call it a day.
Right.
But they backed themselves into a corner that they just gave him the hammer and he used it.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got issues with that team. Now, the Mets went out and spent money on Verlander. I tend to think, you know, he's still a horse in big spots. I just like when he's on the mound in big spots, that's generally the side you like. My takeaway is I get that move. Your thoughts?
I loved it. I mean, look, I like, Colin, baseball-centric front offices. You look at Houston with Jim Crane. You look at Stephen Cohen and Buck Showalter. You have the Braves' most experienced baseball staff. But the combination of Stephen Cohen and Buck Showalter, who I think is the smartest mind in the game today, I loved it for two reasons. One, he's 1A, 1B. He's connected back with his old teammate Scherzer. That's a hell of a two-headed monster. I love the length, 2 years, very controllable.
Yeah.
And I just love getting those two guys back together.
So it's interesting. Xander Bogaerts goes Red Sox, Padres. These shortstops, like the biggest cut, it's shortstops. Now, baseball's analytics has changed, but it is interesting who the sport pays now. Are you noticing? I'm sure you're noticing this.
Yeah, the shortstops haven't changed, and I'm happy for that. I'm a big advocate for that, Colin, as you know. The other ones that are getting paid incredibly well are the starting pitchers. Now, starting pitchers, to take away the Verlanders and Scherzers and Gerrit Coles of the world. But pitchers in this industry, in this era, have never made more money and have never been asked to do less. So you get paid more money, but you get yanked in the fifth or fourth inning. It's an incredible metrics, and I think there'll be a fix over time.
I want to ask you about this. Some of the reason the Yankees, I always feel like the Yankees are overspending and trying to catch up on mistakes. It feels not desperate, but it's, I don't look at them as, like the Dodgers, for instance. They've let good players go. They've Machado, Kershaw got a one-year deal. They just let Trey Turner go. And I look at the Dodgers and I think, excellent minor league system, excellent development. The guys they spend, generally, it doesn't feel desperate. They let guys walk. So Trey Turner goes to the Phillies. I saw the contract. Is he that big of a difference maker in your opinion?
I think so. And reuniting him with Harper, reuniting him with the hitting coach, Kevin Long, world-class talent, runs like the wind, has power, tremendous character, and it just adds to that Philadelphia. Look, they can taste it last year. I was there in Philly for every game during the playoffs and World Series, and it was electric. And you got to give the Phillies ownership a lot of credit. But you have baseball people making baseball decisions. The same thing with the New York Mets. Going back to the Yankees, it just feels like they're a dollar short, a day late every single time, like a bad poker player. But, I mean, getting Aaron Judge is unanimous. You should have signed up 4 or 5 years ago. If you sign up for 100 and you take that delta of $260 million and you then deploy that capital to other players to help you bring a world championship, awesome. The Mets do a great job. They let go of DeGrom, and before the ink is dry and he's on the plane, they already brought in Verlander. So they're playing very proactive chess versus reactive, and that's why I think the Mets have struggled, and the Yankees have struggled, because there's no baseball people in their organization. Tim Naehring is the only guy left, I believe.
So the Dodgers have, you know, their lineup is excellent. Let Bellinger go, who'd had a couple of bad seasons. Big hole in the swing, let him go. I think most Dodger fans were okay with that. Now Turner's gone. So you think to yourself, all right, do we have the pitching now? Kershaw, one-year deal, getting older. Do the Dodgers have anything in free agency you look at and think, hey, they got a hole, they need to solve it?
They have the trifecta. I would never doubt the Dodgers. They have two of the smartest owners in the game, and Todd Boehly and Mark Walters. You have Friedman, who's a wonderful general manager, and you have great baseball people all around. They're the smartest people in the group and the richest. I believe the Dodgers are going to do something really good, and there's something up their sleeve. Don't sleep on the Dodgers.
Finally, it was interesting. You know, Met fans, when you grow up in a neighborhood and, you know, the Yankees and you're the little brother, it's almost like being the Jets or the Clippers in Los Angeles. You're the little brother. And through the years, I've seen the Mets sort of react, you know, hastily or desperately. And when DeGrom left, I was surprised. They kind of freaked out. And I thought, it's a good team. You know, DeGrom isn't always dependable. I don't think less of the Mets today. Like, what did you make of the DeGrom move? I thought New York freaked out. People were angry, and I'm like, that's not a thing. Or is it?
I thought it was a brilliant move. No one wants to lose DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom is one of the best pitchers in the game. But, boy, if you can come back, instead of giving 5 years, you give up 2 years, and you reunite Scherzer and Verlander, there's a wonderful move. Colin, there's nothing that calms down these baseball nations, right? Big franchises with rich history. Is when you have smart people. Look, in a thunderstorm, you want a great pilot. There's no better pilot in the game today than Buck Showalter. And to have Stephen Cohen's pocket, $16, $17 billion, the richest owner in the game of baseball. I said it when they hired Buck Showalter. They will win 2 championships in the next 7 years. I stand by my comment.
I got a question for you. And I'm not close enough to the sport to know. Mookie Betts left the Reds. I always consider the Red Sox like the third richest team. You know, it was like Yankees, maybe Dodgers, Red Sox. So Mookie Betts wouldn't pay for him. Xander Bogaerts, outbid by the Padres. What is up with the Red Sox? Is it? You tell me, where are they as a franchise?
I'm not close to it enough, Colin, to comment with any, I'm just not close to it. Here's what I will tell you is I like proactive. I don't like reactive moves. And it seems like the Red Sox are a little bit on their heels. If you're not going to sign Bogaerts, then maybe you trade him a year ago and get some value for him. But having just guys in a season that you're not competitive, having Bogaerts run out his contract and then run off to the West Coast, to me, that's a big miss.
A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez, Fox Sports, very well appointed in his office in, I can just tell it's Coral Gables. It's a nice area. That's why everybody knows you live down there. It's great seeing you as always, Alex.
Great seeing you.
It's pitchers and shortstops now. The Padres never had big boy money. And about 3 years ago, now they're just, I always thought the Red Sox, it was Yankees are the richest. Now, because of Steve Cohen, now the Mets are up there. But it was like the Braves had money. Dodgers had money. There's always a handful. Houston now, big boy money. Texas had some money. I thought the Red Sox were in that class. They make, if you look at their TV revenue, if you look at their revenues, Google them, they're way up there. Mookie Betts was arguably the best overall talent. Let him go. This kid's big time shortstop. Out, Padres pay. I don't know. What do you make? What's happened to the Red Sox?
Well, I thought the Mets move of DeGrom. I like what A-Rod said, but I am curious. Do you know a lot about this Mets owner? Have you read about this Steve Cohen?
Yeah, he's a Mets fan.
But also his background. He's incredibly wealthy. There are some awesome stories about him online. This guy's just like a real legend in his industry. And I kind of like what he's done with the Mets, and I'm not allowed to say that as a Yankees fan.
Right.
But I kind of like his aggressive nature as an owner.
So you tell me, DeGrom, would you trust him in a big spot, his health?
Can you trust anybody, any of these starting pitchers in baseball?
Mets fans freaked out, and I was like, they were always complaining, it was health issues. I don't know. I just didn't think it was like, the Mets, to me, are capable of surviving the exit of Jacob DeGrom. They need more sticks to me. They need another stick.
What do the Yankees need? Because they did nothing against the Astros, as you noted.
I think they had pitching issues. I think Garrett Cole hasn't been what they thought. I think they have a lot of issues. Yeah. Very home run reliant, which I guess now in baseball is okay.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants.
All right. Hour three's around the corner. Rams, Raiders tonight. My Raiders on a little bit of a heater. It's the Herd.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.